This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Ever since COVID hit, I've had more and more emails asking when the second coming is going to happen, as if I actually knew. But one of the things that I can say for sure is that many people who email say they believe it is coming soon. Some think any time now. What I want to do, since we're closing out the year, is talk about the many events, some of which will take a long, long time, that still must happen before the second coming of Christ. So that is our subject today. I've also been reminded in kind of a mildly scolding way by some listeners that I haven't left my email address available to those of you who are listening. If you have a question or comment about this program or about some other religious question, feel free to send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. So a little bit of background. What I'm going to talk about for the signs of the times list here that I've got is some things that have already happened and how extraordinary they are. But the main function, the main focus of the show today is to let everyone know that they don't have to be worried that the second coming is right around the corner, because there are a great number of things that still need to happen. All right, let's jump right in. If you go to 1 Nephi chapter 10, verse 14, and dozens of other scriptural references in the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Bible, they will say that there must be a gathering of Israel. Now, this is something that we have already seen happen to a large extent. When the Book of Mormon was written in 1830, there were very few Jews, relatively speaking, in the Holy Land. There were certainly some, but there was not an official state of Israel. Israel was formed in the late 1940s, 46 and 47, as a result of the United Nations efforts to give the Jews a homeland after the Holocaust. This was an incredible thing in response, or perhaps better said, in fulfillment of the prophecies of Orson Hyde, who went to the Holy Land to gather, to dedicate the land for the gathering of the Jews. This is happening, and it has already happened. There is a state of Israel, as we all know, and it is thriving for the most part, notwithstanding Hamas and other terrorist organizations and people who somehow think that of all the people, the Jews don't have a right to exist, which baffles me. But beyond the gathering of the Jews, there are many things that have to happen in connection with Israel. Listen to this from the History of the Church, Joseph Smith History, Volume 5, starting on page 337. Quote, Judah must return. This is the return of the Jews. Jerusalem must be rebuilt. This has also happened. And the temple, which has not been rebuilt. And water must come out from under the temple and the waters of the Dead Sea healed. It will take some time to rebuild the walls of the city and the temple, etc. And all this must be done before the Son of Man will make his appearance. There will be wars and rumors of wars, signs in the heavens above and the earth beneath, the sun turned into darkness and the moon to blood, earthquakes in diverse places, seas heaving beyond their bounds. Then will appear one grand sign of the Son of Man in heaven. But what will the world do? They will say it is a planet, a comet. But the Son of Man, which will be as the light of the morning, cometh out of the east. Close quote. Let's break this down. This is a great quote that sort of gathers together in short form several of the major things that have not yet happened. The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. There are those who think this is impossible. I do not believe that it is impossible. As a matter of fact, there are efforts amongst the Jews to have that happen. There are organizations that are working hard to have the temple rebuilt. They do it for slightly different reasons than the Latter-day Saints understand. But what is important to know is that there are concerted efforts by a number of people to have the temple rebuilt. Among those are exactly replicating all of the things that were found inside the temple, including a sacrificial altar and all of the other things that are required. In addition to that, rebuilding the temple itself will take years. This is not a small feat. It was one of the ancient wonders of the world. It was an extraordinary building. And whether it's rebuilt in exactly the same place or not, to me, is immaterial. There are great arguments about that. It will be rebuilt at some point. Then on to the next item. Water is to come out from under the temple. Why would that be a thing? Why would that matter? Why would anyone care? And how could water come out from under the temple? This is something that was done anciently by early leaders of the Jews to keep the temple and the city of Jerusalem safe from siege. They built a water aquifer, a water duct, and actually part of it fed the pool of Siloam where Jesus actually healed people. And this water came from underneath the temple. What exactly has happened to it in the meantime is up for debate, but there's no reason why that water source could not come about again. A little bit like opening up some kind of a drainage or ditch or other means for water to come out that has been sealed off for a while. This is all very possible. And another thing that's supposed to happen is the waters of the Dead Sea are to be healed. Now, how would that work? Some people look at that and kind of smile and say, yeah, right, you've got this lake, this Dead Sea that's full of salt, and somehow you're going to turn it into fresh water. Well, it doesn't say all of the Dead Sea. It says the waters of the Dead Sea. And for several dozen years now, the Jews have actually, in my opinion, fulfilled or partially fulfilled this prophecy because they have had several desalinization projects where they get water for growing trees and plants and edibles, orchards, all kinds of wonderful things from the waters of the Dead Sea, which is desalinated and used for agricultural purposes. That, to me, is healing the waters of the Dead Sea. That's a fascinating thing. Now on to one other grand sign. I wanted to talk about this before we take our break and move on to other things, and that is before Jesus comes. The last great sign will be in the heavens. The world will miss it, and they will say that it's a planet or a comet. It doesn't say that this last great sign isn't a planet or a comet. They just won't attach the coming of Jesus again to that particular sign. The planet or comet or whatever it is will be something that's unusual or something that is easy to see because it says people will see it. They will just misinterpret it. That to me is fascinating. And then the final comment that is made in here by Joseph Smith, again, this is History of the Church, Volume 5, page 337. When the Son of Man comes, he will be dressed in red and he will be seen by the entire world. The likeness that's mentioned here is like the light of the morning cometh out of the east. Nobody misses it and says, oh, I thought it was still dark. Now, this is a major event, something that everyone will see. How will that happen? We have technology now to make sure it happens. People can see when the second coming occurs with TV, with video, with many other things. So that's not a problem. All right, let's take our break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. This is our second segment. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this show or some other religious question, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com. So what are some of the other things that will happen before the second coming that have not yet happened or that perhaps are in the state of happening now but have not been completed? Here's an interesting one. Quote, this is from Journal of Discourses, Volume 18, starting on page 14. This is from Wilford Woodruff. Quote, the people called the Millerites, believing in the second coming of the Savior, and they have set a great many days when it should take place. But he did not come, and he never will come until the revelations of God are fulfilled and a people are prepared for his coming. Close quote. And I'm going to stop there for a second. The Millerites were a group in the late 1800s who thought Jesus and his second coming was going to happen. And Wilford Woodruff is saying they've set several different times when the second coming was going to take place, but they were wrong. And gosh, they should have known better. It's kind of what Wilford Woodruff is saying, because he never will come until the revelations of God are fulfilled, close quote. Wilford Woodruff is saying that a number of things have to take place first. He mentions gathering of the Jews. Well, in our day, that has happened, or at least partially happened. The temple must be rebuilt. Wilford Woodruff observed that. And that is something that has not yet happened. He also talks about Gentiles going up to battle against the Jews. There are a number of places where this is prophesied. We kind of see how that might happen today when Hamas on November 7th attacked Israel. There was not the reaction that most people would expect, which is condemnation everywhere. Instead, a number of people were cheering, rapes, baking children in ovens, slaughtering pregnant women, killing people, mutilating their bodies, horrible things that happened by Hamas that have somehow been justified by either clueless or bigoted people throughout the world. And it's when you see that, you see how many nations and many people can turn against Israel. And that is something that has been prophesied, unfortunately, and that is apparently beginning to happen. Here's another thing that may have partially happened, because we have, as Latter-day Saints, patriarchal blessings that are given to many, many people. And those patriarchal blessings declare the lineage in them. In other words, perhaps your literal lineage, or perhaps the lineage into which you were adopted because of your traits, skills, talents, whatever the reason, there are people who have had their lineage declared to be of every single tribe. So that would mean that the so-called lost tribes are not completely lost anymore. If you take a look at Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verses 26 through 34, it mentions some things about the lost tribes that I wanted to describe here and touch on for a minute. Quote, and they who are in the north country shall come in remembrance before the Lord. It's talking about the lost tribes. And their prophets shall hear his voice and shall no longer stay themselves. And they shall smite the rocks, and the ice shall flow down at their presence. Now, exactly what that means, I'm not sure, but verse 27 says this, "And an highway shall be cast up in the midst of the deep," and then it goes on and talks about how they will come back down to Jerusalem. They will join the rest of those who follow Jesus and who follow Christianity. Now, how would that work? And we think when we hear that, that we know what that statement means. But it's been made now for a long time. That's in Doctrine and Covenants section 133. What did highway mean when section 133 was penned? It certainly didn't mean some cement or asphalt road with automobiles. They weren't invented until the last few years of the 1800s. A highway, if you take a look at the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, meant literally a path that is high, a way upon which you can walk that is raised by adding dirt to make it dry. It could also mean an open path so that all could pass by. So this literally meant, or figuratively meant, ways would be made so that the 10 tribes could easily, without obstruction, come and be part of the rest of the Jewish or Latter-day Saint nations. That seems to be happening, and to have happened a great deal since the restoration of the gospel. There are many people who have come from the North countries, Scandinavia, Northern Europe, Eastern Europe, many other places. The North countries would be most of the known world if you're talking about the Middle East. And so many people who are part of these lost tribes have become part of the gospel family, or part of the Jewish family, if you prefer to look at it that way. Then you go on for a little bit about what's going to happen next in Doctrine and Covenants 133, and it discusses barren deserts shall come forth with pools of living water, and parched grounds shall no longer be thirsty land. This seems to be a description of, once again, what the Jews have done of the Holy Land. It was very barren in many places, and yet they were able to make aquifers, as I mentioned before, desalinate the waters of the Dead Sea and grow wonderful, beautiful things. Verse 30 of section 133 is fascinating. They, meaning the Jews who return, shall bring forth their rich treasures. The boundaries of the everlasting hills shall tremble at their presence. This to me says that the Jews in Jerusalem and Israel as a country will be wealthy, and indeed it is. And the Jews have a great many talented people as part of their culture, and they are those who make their enemies tremble. Hamas hates Israel. The Ayatollahs, many, many of the extremist Muslims hate Israel. This is something that is literally fulfilled in our times. Let's talk about a few of the others that some people seem to wait for, but it's already happened. Elijah returning is mentioned in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and it's literally already happened, as we know, reading in Doctrine and Covenants section 110. In verses 13 through 16, Elijah came. He came to the temple and he talked about the restoration. And he said in verse 16, quote, "Therefore, the keys of this dispensation are committed into your hands, and by this you may know that the great and dreadful day of the Lord is near, even at the doors." So, will there be much time left? Well, in the huge scheme of things, probably not. On the other hand, we certainly have not seen the two witnesses, as are mentioned in the book of Revelation, and we also have not seen the rebuilding of the Jewish temple and the water come out from under the temple. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.